Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. 133353 is our number. We do it for our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. And then, of course, 1-800-848-848 if you need our legal protection, legal advice. Get hold of Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed. Obviously, I'm dealing with Bryden's at the moment with a couple of things that are going on around here. Rabbitohs 26, Tigers 24, Manly 32, Dogs 20. We've got Penrith 20, Parramatta 2. Penrith have now won 13 straight. Raiders 37, Dragons 8, Roosters 42, Knights 12. And, of course, the ticker tape has just finished up there at Cavill Avenue because the Titans have won their third straight game. Titans 18, Broncos 6. He'll be a Rabbitoh, though, next year. He's seen the light and he's on the phone. Jai Arrow, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
No, thanks for having me, boys. Appreciate it.
Fantastic, mate. Most importantly, we're loving the haircuts. How are they taking it around Broadbeach and around the Goldie there? They're loving it?
Oh, well, I'm not allowed. We're in the got the lockout rules.
Of course.
Bubble.
Yeah.
It's a trick question, Joy. He's trying to get you.
The bubbles. So I can't let it fly. I can't let the mullet fly on the Gold Coast at the moment. But hopefully sooner rather than later I can get out and let me pour the joy out.
Well, mate, you just look like another one of the lunatics in Redfern Street with that hairdo, let me tell you.
Yeah, I definitely suit. Down at Redfern, that's for sure. I've been told that many times. So that was the plan. I'll stick to it.
Hey, Joy, in all seriousness, what do you reckon Wayne Bennett will say about that salad that you got cooking at the moment?
Personally, I don't think you'll like it, but obviously, it's actually getting shaved off pretty soon. So,
okay.
For charity? For the charity, obviously, with the world's greatest shave. So, I'm going to have a bald head on the 21st of September, but it's obviously all for a good cause. So, it's all in good fun now, but it's all for a good cause, as I said.
Hey, Joy, what's the feeling like around the camp? Obviously, you started off pretty poorly, but just in the last 3 weeks, the errors have come down. You're playing mistake-free footy, and it seems like when you watch the Titans, there's more Titans jerseys in the picture than there has been in a long, long time. You're competing really hard.
Yeah, 100%. That's what we spoke about, Gordy, was just to compete, and that's what Justin's brought in. He's just wanted us to compete every week, and we're starting to play some good footy, and we match it with the top teams there, and we've obviously strung a few in together, and hopefully we can continue that for the rest of the year with the last two games and, finish off strong.
There's no doubt, Jai, we've watched the improvement in the Titans over the course of the season. Can you take us through Holbrook as a coach? Can you just give us a little bit of a window into how he coaches, what you've learned from him, I suppose new ideas that he's brought to the club that you probably hadn't considered before?
Yeah, so I love working with Justin. He's he's a really relaxed guy and he doesn't have a spray in him, which is pretty good. But
he'll get
exactly. But he he just brings in the fun side of it. He wants us to enjoy ourselves and have fun and to play for the love of the game. And during the preseason that we had a lot of ball in hand and sort of. We call them mini skills and that. We've been doing a lot of that and obviously defense as well because defense wins footy games. But he's a pretty relaxed guy. He's very technically smart with his game plans and all that. But, overall, he's a great coach and he's a great fella as well.
Sounds like you've learned a lot from him.
Yeah, 100%. He definitely has. The passing side of things, actually, bringing a passing sort of thing into my game definitely helps. And instead of getting bashed week in and week out, just cutting the ball up, he's definitely helped with that.
How's your body holding up injury-wise, Joy? Like we've saw you had to come off a couple of times over the course of the season. There was some concern that you might have been ruled out for a period of time.
Yeah, the shoulder's pretty good. Obviously, I did my AC and I was back a week later than expected. So I've been managing it pretty well and just trying to do my rehab and strengthen it up. But it's definitely getting there. But I'm obviously playing, so it's not worrying me or anything. And I'll just continue to rehab it and get my strength back, and then I'll go from there.
Hey, Joy, you spoke about Justin bringing back the fun. How has he done that for you guys?
Oh, he just sat us down and just said, when you're winning footy games, you're having fun, and you know, we play a lot of games at training, like conditioning games, and he's brought that back into the game. Instead of, you know, flogging us and running around and all that, he's just brought back the sort of the fun part of it, where you get to play conditioning games and compete every, compete on everything. And there's a lot of, Fiji touch and stuff like that, which is, it's enjoyable and everyone actually loves playing it. So, he just sort of brought the fun side of it, as I said. And, I'm hoping he continues to do that for the next couple of weeks, because it's been working.
Do you sit there now, Jai, and obviously you're heading to South Sydney next year, but they've hired Fifita and they've got a few other good players coming to the club. Does part of you look at it and think, wow, this is a club that's starting to move up the table?
Yeah, 100%. With the players that are coming, they obviously signed Davey and then Herms and Tino as well, who I think are going to do a great job here. And I definitely think that they've got the coaching staff to do it, and players as well. And I obviously I hold this club close to my heart, because I'm obviously a Gold Coast boy in that. But, I obviously want to see this club do well. And obviously I'm heading to Sydney, and obviously no regrets there. I'm really looking forward to getting down there and getting stuck in. But, I really want this club to do well, and I'm sure they will over the next couple of years, because they're definitely heading in the right direction, that's for sure.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way from an outside point of view as well. These three wins in a row have been terrific. And actually, last time we spoke to you, Joy, I don't know if you can remember or not, we'll jog your memory, we'll just play a little bit of audio from our host, Anthony Maroon.
Oh, no.
I tell you what, if they win five in a row, don't worry about breast implants. I'll get a sex change.
Joy, as you know, mate, I meant...
There you go. I remember that. I said, I'll hold you to that when we do win. For all the three in a row, so you've got to get one now, do you?
Well, hang on. You don't want to get ahead of yourself.
Five.
And, Joy, also, as you know, mate, I meant... coming out of the COVID period, in the history of the Gold Coast Titans.
He said five in a row, mate. You're currently at three in a row, and there's two rounds left. You've got Manly, and then who was the last game against?
Newcastle Knights.
So, mate, I tell you what, you've got three blokes here who are really riding you blokes hard at the moment.
Oh, I'll be flying into the next two games. I'll pay a lot of money to watch you get a sex change.
Good on you, mate. All the best with it.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you. Jai Arrow, he's a good sport. He's heading to the Rabbitohs next year. We're looking forward to that. And, of course, he's with the Gold Coast Titans now. And they are flying high, which is absolutely fantastic. The Gold Coast Titans, three in a row yesterday, up against a side that used to be considered their big brother, but certainly not anymore. That's the second time they've tumbled them this year.
Yeah, they're in all sorts, aren't they? The Broncos.
Yeah.
And I was interested reading the papers today where I think it's their skipper, Alex Glenn, suggesting that he'd like a seat at the table in terms of determining who the Brisbane coach is going to be. I'm not sure how that works, Anthony. They've lost so many games in a row this season since the resumption, and the players at the moment are part of the reason why the club is potentially going to pick up its first wooden spoon in 32 years. So
it's he's earned the right, though.
Well, that doesn't earn you, but
that was the question.
I don't think that earns you the right to get a seat at the table.
Well, I think some clubs, they take on the players' opinions is the wrong thing sometimes. Depending on the group you've got. If you've got an accountable group, like if Cameron Smith came and said to you, look, I'd like to say in who the next coach is after Craig Bellamy goes, you'd have to listen to him.
I'd say at the moment, it's like letting the animals run the zoo.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Has he earned the right to have a say on who the next coach is?
No.
Well, you know what? I'd listen to him without giving him a vote, because I'd be interested in his opinion on what sort of coach he thought the Broncos need.
I'd be interested to know if he had an influence on Anthony Seibold getting the gig last time around.
Unlikely by the sounds of him making that demand. It sounds like he wants to try and help the club get going, and given the last one didn't work,
they tried to move him on. Remember, they were shopping him around?
Yeah, Seibold.
That's right.
Broncos. So that's probably why. There's probably like a little bit of self-interest. I think it's dangerous. I think you go to the players, the senior players, but you can't let them dictate who comes and coaches.
No, but Gordon, it depends on the honesty of your senior playing group, doesn't it? Because on, like I said, I think in some instances, and yeah, go back to the old Broncos teams that you came through with, I think if you went to someone like Shane Webke and Petro Sivanisiva, those types of players, Brad Thorne, they wouldn't make a decision based on their own comfort. They would make a decision for the greater benefit of the club.
But how's it going to help them with the young kids? And I think, like, if you had Mel, Ricky and Laurie,
But the thing about those examples we just mentioned is they are premiership-winning players who know what it takes to get there and do that. If you're not a premiership-winning player, and, yeah, for example, look, to go to, say, to the Titans before Holbrook got there, if you'd gone to them and said, well, listen, guys, give us your opinion on who you like, you wouldn't put a lot of trust in it. No. You wouldn't put a lot of trust in. West Tigers have run a couple of coaches out of town. You know what I mean? The playing group. So you don't listen to them, because if they run the coach out of town and then they go and have success, we say, well, the players have made collectively the right decision. But if they continue with this mediocrity, at one point you've got to say, well, maybe it's the players who are mediocre and we need to get the right coach in who will sort that out, which is what West are experiencing at the moment.
Yeah.
But I would say, I don't know if Alex Glenn's earned the right to get a say at the Broncos table.
Okay, boys, who do we think, and when do we think, and who do we think, Hoops, will be the new coach of the Brisbane Broncos? When are we going to find out, and who's it going to be?
Oh, I think they're still a couple of weeks away. They want to try and appoint the new CEO before they officially ratify whoever the new head coach is. Look, I've pushed all along for Kevvy Walders, and that's not just because of the huge support that he enjoys from the likes of all the old boys and Jonathan Thurston and those types of people, but just because I think he's earned an opportunity. You know, he's waited for so long now, and he's been involved with so many elite players through that Queensland system. He's earned his shot. He's been promised it previously. The club backflipped on that and broke their word. They owe it to Kev, and not only that, but there's not too many people that can fix where the Broncos are at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I genuinely believe that Kevvy is one of the few people who can.
And Kevvy too, Gordy, he gets, we've discussed this before, he would get the love back in the place. Everybody be back on side. Yeah.
Well, I get asked a lot of questions. I think I probably get asked this question 3 or 4 times a day. It's the most asked question, who's going to coach the Broncos? And, you know, my answer is I don't know, and I truly don't know. But I bumped into some guys the other day, and I was walking out, and there was 4 guys at a table. I sat down and had a beer with them, and it was a lawyer, like a finance lawyer, his son, a builder. And they all said, and these are 4 guys that don't follow rugby league. I don't think they would have ever gone to a Broncos game. It's got to be Kevvy Walders, hadn't he? So I think Kevvy's got the public. And what I mean by that is, you know, I mean, like, he's got the, like, all brothers played for the Broncos except for Steve, you know, so he's got 4 brothers that have played for the Broncos. The family live and breathe rugby league. They are the Ipswich connection. He is, it just runs through his veins, and you just think that they deserve an opportunity. And I think Brisbane would just support him. I think to bring everybody back together, and I'm talking about, you know, the commercial side of the game up here, you know, with the sponsors, the corporate boxes, the membership, the fans that might go to 1 or 2 games, the fans that watch it on TV. I think Kevvy would be the glue to bring everybody back. And they keep on talking about the old boys, but we're always going to be part of the club. We're always going to be there because we play for it. We help build it. But I think those other people that don't have the same connection to the club as what we have, they're the ones that they need to hold on to.
Gordon, is there ever a fear, though, and I'll say this respectfully, but is there ever a fear that your intervention at the club can have a negative effect? Because there's no doubt you love the club. You all love the club, and you feel some ownership of the club. But you're not within the club, and not many old boys have experience as a head coach or have experience within a club running the club the way they need to be run. And we've seen over the years, for example, Parramatta went through a really bad period where continually the old guys were coming out and giving their 2 cents worth on how the club should operate. And it only ever ended in a negative impact on the club. Yeah, the Tigers have gone through similar. Yeah,
but things changed, and look at them now. And then they're
but it didn't change because of the old boys. It didn't change because of the old boys. It changed because the board got its act together. The old boys that were continuing.
But didn't they make enough noise to make the board make decisions?
Well, you could argue that point.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I think there's a danger that I
hey, Paul, it doesn't worry me, mate. I don't want a job back there.
I know you don't want a job,
Gordon.
He has got enough jobs.
And you know what? And then you got a valid point. We don't own the club. And I don't care if I ever walk back in there at all. And I don't want a job. And
well, you should
I don't
care
need
that.
Their money.
You should
but,
care.
No,
that.
No. No, because but the point is, no, but the point is I'm paid for my opinion. And then when I spoke about the Dragons and I say that they're weak and they got no spine and they got no steel in their pack, no one jumps up and down. But when I say something about Wayne Bennett, it's like I dislike him. I think the hardest thing I've ever said about a coach was Tim Sheens. I said he's never been able to coach defence in his life, right? And I think that's the biggest sledge I've ever said about a coach. And then saying that, like when I said it, and I don't often do it, I was trying to grab the words out of my mouth. When they're out, I think, oh, well, so be it, and I walk away. What I say about the club, if someone's told me that what I'm saying is a lie, if someone says that it's untrue and they don't agree with my opinion, I'd take it. But I think everything that I've said about the club is valid. And, you know, as a 15-year-old kid, Paul, all I ever wanted to do was put on that jersey. And everybody that I knew that played there would have played for less money to play for that club.
Well, that's what we're told you did.
Right? Absolutely. And that's what happens. And that's how you kept a really successful club together. I just hope that the next 15-year-old Gordon Tallis wants to play for the Broncos. And I don't know whether it's there. Because you've got the best young kid by the name of David Fifita that's going down the coast.
Mm.
Gordon, so that's where the club's at.
There's no doubt your heart's in the right place.
Yeah.
The board tried it their way, Kenty.
The board tried it their way when they gave Seibold a 6-year deal. How did that end up? I know that.
Look, I'm not arguing against anybody. I'm just arguing. Yeah, you know, I think the overwhelming support for Kevy in some respects has been a little bit damaging to him because I think that's a criticism of the current board, the way they're operating. It's almost like they are trying to make a point from everything that's coming out of there that they don't want to
know more. But that's because Paul White, the CEO, shook his hand and said that he was going to be the coach.
Yeah, I know that. I get all that.
Yeah. So then in the last month, no one said anything about Kevy. I haven't pushed Kevy's barrel. I said that I'd love him to be coach.
Yeah.
But I'm not making the decision. I said if I was making decisions and what I said, if I was there and I had the club in this situation, I would leave. Mm. I have not gone and said, well, this is what they should be doing. I've said, I would like to see Kevy get an opportunity to coach there. And if I was making the decisions and they were that poor and I put the club in this decision, that I would walk away just being a proud man. And sometimes you've got to know when you're not good enough to do your job.
Mate, I get all that. I'm not saying, look, I think you have made valid points. I just wonder whether as old boys, because when you say your bit, it comes from the heart. Okay.
Yes.
When Chris John says his bit, it comes from the heart. When Kerry Walters says his bit,
Steve Renoff.
But it's almost like there's a defiance now from the club not to do what you guys wanted. What you guys are pleading for the club to do.
Well, I think there's been a quiet word go around from some power brokers for the old boys to pull back a little bit in terms of the vocal support of Kevy. But look, to answer your question initially, Anthony, we should have a result in terms of a Broncos coach over the course of the next couple of weeks. Paul Green's obviously the other candidate who has been heavily spruced. And I also noticed there that you were very quick to jump into Gordon about the number of jobs that he has already. So while we're on that, we'll just cover this topic off. So Kenty had a freshen up a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
Gordon's going to have a freshen up next week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll also have a freshen up as well leading into the finals. That's a station management directive because they want us fit and firing for the big end of season games.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. And it's not for me to argue with the management here, but it's funny because now Charlie White, one of the producers, he's having a freshen up. I mean,
you got up here yesterday.
Hang on a second.
No, mate, you got up here yesterday. I'm driving into Triple M. You said the Raiders had completed 18 out of 14 sets.
Mate, because I'm overworked.
I don't know how that happens.
I'm overworked. You only work half a day a week.
Are you guys playing in the finals? Are you playing in the NRL finals? And just before, it's now come to my knowledge, and this is the saddest day in my radio career. The first time I've been fully deflated, I've just found out that people have been calling in offering my support to me, and these two felucas out here, Tony Soprano and Tom Birmingham, have been deflecting their calls.
See, I would argue it's your saddest day ever in the history of your career.
It is.
Because we actually found audio of you making one of your stupid bets. And you can't deny that one like you're trying to deny the Parramatta one.
The Parramatta one I deny. Well, I don't want to get bogged down.
When I
don't want to get bogged
checked
down.
With station management about the freshen up policy,
yeah.
They said, we want all you blokes to have a freshen up. I said, what about Maroon? They said, Maroon's on a match payment scenario.
Right.
He's on a pay-for-play basis.
Right.
And they also said, and his life at the moment is a little bit somewhat of a holiday. So we don't know that he needs the freshen up.
Well, I don't know that we need to discuss any more of my personal issues on the airwaves. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to do two scoops hoops with the NRL News.
The Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. We've got some great games. That game tonight looks good, which is, of course, the Sharkies and the Warriors. And then, of course, today, now, you can catch, of course, all the games through the finals. You can catch them here on the Triple M network. Finals, Origin, Grand Final, we'll be doing them all. So if you haven't got the Triple M NRL app, get it now to your phone, and then wherever you go, you can listen to footy. Storm Cowboys today, Sharks Warriors today as well. James Triceps Hooper, Paul Kent, Gordy Tallis and Maroon, and it's time for this.
Welcome to Maroon's Trivia Night.
Yes, well, this is a pub quiz tonight, and as you know, I like to spice things up around finals time. The prize today is $6 to spend on the Triple M vending machine, which would get you the large pick and mix, a packet of Snakes Alive, a Twix or a Twirl, also a Violet Crumble. I don't... Sorry?
Cherry Ripe.
Cherry Ripes are in there. Freckles, too. I know you like a freckle. A nice... Big fresh freckle.
You like a packet of freckles.
I do like a freckle. I've always got a spare freckle
diving
on me.
Diving into them on a Saturday night.
So let's now go with movies. Questions about movies. Your names are your buzzer. Paul, your name is your buzzer. Triceps, your name is your buzzer. And so to you, Gordon Tallis. And it's all movie questions today. $6 to spend in the vending machine. Question number one. The head of what all movie questions. The head of what kind of animal is front and centre in an infamous scene from The Godfather?
Paul.
Yes.
Horse.
Giddy up. It's 1-0. Question number two. Del Griffith and Neil Page are characters in what movie? Del Griffith and Neil Page are characters in what movie?
Hoops.
Yes.
Dumb and Dumber.
Wrong. It's Planes, Trains and Automobiles. So you're on minus.
John Candy.
John Candy. Mate. Yeah.
How about those Mets?
Yes. Great movie, isn't it? Great movie. Let me go to the next one now. Who played the female lead in the movie Erin Brockovich?
Paul.
Hoops.
Paul.
Julia Roberts.
2-0 to Paul. You blokes, fair dink. And what planet are you on? Have you had a couple of King Browns up there, Gordy? We have. Is your buzzer working, Gordy?
Gordy.
Yeah, beautiful. There you go.
It's on the way.
Okay.
Julia Roberts.
What 1994 film?
1994.
What 1994 film? Revitalized the career.
I know.
Oh,
Paul.
Paul? He's gone early.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Incorrect. Oh, it was Ron Jeremy. No, that's correct. You're right. He's won it already. There you go,
hang
mate.
Hang on. How's he?
We'll finish the question.
Okay. How's he answering questions before the question?
Well, I think he's cheating.
No, it wasn't. 94 was Pulp Fiction. Resurrected John Travolta's career, and it got beaten for the Academy Award for Best Movie by Forrest Gump.
Oh, geez, he's a clever bloke. So anyway, you've won. Do you want to take
$6? I'm going to get
the pick and mix. Or do you want to play next week for $9?
Can I bankroll it?
Yeah, bankroll it into next week.
I can.
All right, $9. He's going for the big Toblerone down there, like the ones you get from duty free.
From the airport.
Let's see if we can get a second place here.
Yeah, second place.
I think Shawshank Redemption was in the same year.
Was it? 94.
Oh,
yeah,
glory. Look
at Jurassic
Park. Big brain on Gordon.
No, because it was like one of those years where every movie was a hit.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to play for second place?
Sure.
Right. Well, what
is the second place?
The second
the
place
up bowl or
what? You get. I'm going to get. I bought him some pizza that I was going to nuke. You can have the pizza if you get second place. Right. Here we go. You're in the box seat here,
Billy
Gordon.
Jean.
Who played James Bond in the movie Live and Let Die?
Oh no.
Who played James Bond in the movie Live and
Hoops.
Let... Yeah.
Roger Moore.
Correct. So it's back to nil all. Next one wins. I can't be doing this nonsense all day. Right. The band Sexual Chocolate comes from what movie?
Oh, I know.
Gordy.
Yes, Gordy.
coming to America.
Yes.
He's won it. He's beat you, mate.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. So you get the piece of Gordy and you get the $9
suspension. What do you call that, velvet? Now,
we'll take a break. Oh, we'll take a break and we'll come back and we will carry on with Hoops' news. Two scoops and a slice of Hoops. Next, as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. We do it for Brydens and thanks to our friends at Tyre Power. And what's going on at Tyre Power now, I hear you ask. Get up to 150 cash back on selected BF Goodrich tyres. And we've got the Rabbitohs 26, Tigers 24, Manly 32, Dogs 20, Penrith 20, Parramatta 2, Raiders 37, Dragons 8, Titans 18, Broncos 6, Roosters 42, Knights 12. And we've just got a – someone's sending a picture of
– there's some breaking news, yeah, Anthony. There's some breaking news. So the listeners are obviously starting to have a field day with the fact that, once again, you've written a check that your body can't necessarily cash.
That was Dane on Twitter. Dane on Twitter.
And so they've sent in a doctored-up version of you after a sex change where it looks as though you're also a female bodybuilder as well.
Maybe
so
I will get a sex change.
That looks like you've got a newly minted spray tan. As well as everything else. So, yeah.
I've always wanted to have nice abs, so maybe it's the way to go. But thank you, Dane, on Twitter. You're smart. You know what I'm going to say. Before we go any further.
It sounds a bit like Hadley then. Paul. Your mentor.
Oh, that is his mentor. He loves Ray.
I do love
everything
Ray. Listen every day.
Ray's imprimatur. Anthony's listening.
He's quality. Now, listen, you blokes. Paul.
Yes.
I wonder, I don't think you would have got this one, right? I'm not going to make a bet, but...
Because you haven't got much form there.
In the late 60s, what Aussie actor played James Bond?
I can answer that easily, Anthony.
Yeah, go on.
Not only can I answer it, I can tell you the answer is George Lazenby.
Yeah.
Can also tell you I actually got on a drink with George Lazenby one day.
Really?
Yeah.
What, in Goulburn? He comes from Goulburn.
No, it wasn't. I was at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And John Newcombe, when he was commentating for Nine at the time, I think it was Nine, at Wimbledon, the Sunday is always a day off. So I was talking to Nuke one day and he said, what are you doing tomorrow? He said, do you want to come to me barbecue? I said, oh, yeah, I'll go. Not doing much else. So I rock up to the barbecue and George Lazenby was there as one of his guests. They're long-term mates. And I was just fascinated that this James Bond was sitting there having a beer with us. And he was a really, really entertaining guy.
Right.
Really humble. A little bit scarred, I think, from the old James Bond experience.
Yeah.
Had a great sense of humour. Yeah, he did one.
He only did the one.
And then he got run out of town, basically. They just said never again.
Right.
Did he do any other movies, Paul, for us younger guys?
Man from Hong Kong was a famous movie he was in.
You're asking the wrong man, Gordy. You should be asking the trivia expert over here.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but he was just a champion. It's funny because John Newcombe, a little bit, John Newcombe just sits there and gets on the beers and whatnot. And over the day, like he starts out as John Newcombe, and then after a while becomes Jack Newcombe, and then later in the evening becomes Jacques Newton. just a different personalities as he gets more drunk. Very funny.
Jeez, you've had a good life, haven't you, Paul?
Oh, I've enjoyed it, Anthony.
My dear old dad would have said, Paul Kent. He won't die wondering. Eh? Now, let's do some news with you, Hoops. Let's see if we can't get you to extract some actual work out of you today. Because, fair dinkum, you are playing for a contract next season. So start putting in the big ones, mate. Come off the back fence. Because you, my friend, have got a lot to prove.
Well, here's a little bit for you straight off the top, Anthony.
Right-o.
I've already signed for next season with Triple M. So's Kenty and so's Gordon. How are you travelling?
Oh, I don't know that I want to be here next season. If you three have already signed, I don't know if it's for me. Now, let's do some news. And starting off with Jimmy Tarmow, where will he be next year?
Yeah, he's going to go to the West Tigers. So, interesting scenario where obviously the Panthers flying 13 in a row at the moment. And, the question is anybody going to be able to stop them on this sensational run that they're on? But for whatever reason, they've got so many young gun emerging players out there. The club has decided that they won't offer Jimmy Tarmow a contract for next season. So the Tigers have seen that as a big result for them. They've jumped straight in. I think they've been in negotiations for well over a month now. It'll be made official over the course of the next week. But he'll sign a two-year deal with the Tigers. And I've got to say, given the fact that he's won a premiership, played for New South Wales and played for Australia, and he's playing good football at the moment at the foot of the mountains. He's the seasoned leader in this young gun pack of forwards. I think it's just what the West Tigers need.
It's got to be an interesting one. It's like I was talking to somebody during the week, and they said, look, he's coming into the price range for the Tigers, which makes a good deal, but the reason players come into the price range is because they're as they get older, what they can contribute actually sort of brings them down into that. So it is a bit of a, I think, a gamble from the Tigers. Yeah. But I do think Tamo is it will bring good values to the club, will really sit there and be able to impart his experiences on the players. And at the moment, the one thing the Tigers, and you can see this what Maguire's trying to do, he's trying to teach them good habits and professional habits and winning habits. And I think from that point of view, Tamo is a good buy.
Mm. And Josh Adokar? Sorry, Gordy, sorry, mate. Go for your life.
Yeah, the only thing that worries me about Tamo is one of those blokes that has a great year when he's coming off contract.
It's a fair point.
You know, like the last couple of years, you know, and to be blunt, you know, you wouldn't have put him in your top 10 front rowers. And this year, you know, you probably put him up in there. So he's one of those guys that can float in and out of games and out of seasons. And obviously Madge is going to ride him hard, and hopefully James Tamo can turn the Tigers around.
I think
them that hard edge.
Yeah, for the Tigers, Gordy, for where they're at and for who's available, you know, you look, they've got some good young forwards there, the likes of Josh Aloye and Luke Garner, but they just need somebody with some experience, a real leader who's been there and done it at all levels. And at least Jimmy Tamo, he does tick all those sorts of boxes. So I reckon it can be a decent signing. Yeah,
it can come with a warning, though, because they've got Russell Packer there who's bought for the same reason. They've got Chris McQueen there who's bought for the same reason.
The Russell Packer one obviously backfired spectacularly in that.
So did Chris McQueen.
Club management at the time gave him a 4-year contract, and he's still got 12 months to run on it next year, and he's not playing a lot of first grade.
That Chris McQueen one, though, not to get off the point, but quickly, that wasn't, it mystified me how.
Well, that was, Jason Taylor was the coach at the time. So again, this is where the Tigers have made so many errors in relation to list management over the course of the last decade, because they've had so many different coaches. First Mick Potter, then Jason Taylor, then Ivan Cleary, now Michael Maguire. And in that time, there's been other people, like Kelly Egan was heavily involved in putting the roster together when Ivan Cleary was there. He's now no longer at the club since Cleary left, and Adam Hardigan is the one who is in charge of roster management. So,
but the point I was going to make, who's like, not, I wasn't dissing on Chris McQueen. It seemed like he was a great player till he got there.
He was. He'd played State of Origin. He'd won a premiership with Souths, but he had a serious neck injury, and that hampered his development at the West Tigers
and
for
a
period of time.
I think it wasn't there also a change of coach from the coach that got him?
Correct.
To the
Jason
coach.
Taylor signed him, and then Jason Taylor got sacked by the club, and Ivan Cleary got brought in.
Yeah, and was not interested in him. So, I tell you what, it's tough too when a new coach comes into a club and doesn't have a rap on a player.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, Chris McQueen probably would have wished he'd have stayed at the Titans for this memorable 3 wins in a row they're on now.
Getting back to the news.
I just got a little bit of clear oxygen.
It's on the way to be very memorable.
Makes no difference to me, mate. This makes no
difference. I thought you said you were going to box Clever today. Because that's clever going back there again.
Mate,
it was a statement of the year. It was like his halftime speech yesterday. I'm driving in. The Raiders had completed 18 out of 14 sets, Gordon. And then he said, I'm going to box Clever. Today he goes, no, listen here, you knuckleheads. I'm going to box Clever today. You're not going to get me.
Listen, if I had made many mistakes as you make every week, Gordon, now you're a big and tough guy while you're up there in the Brisbane studio. You get back down here, I will embarrass you in front of your two bum chums. How do you like that? Now, also on the news.
You want to box Clever that day.
Josh Adokar, what's happening with Josh?
I think Josh Adokar will most likely end up at the West Tigers. So they've offered him a 4-year deal. They've offered him the opportunity to play fullback. Now, the money is critical here. So initially, the reports were that Josh Adokar's new management were asking for $800,000 plus a season. The West Tigers won't be going anywhere near that sort of money. But I think they will certainly pay him in excess of $500,000 a year, which is still damn good dough. And they'll give him the stability of a 4-year deal.
And the beautiful thing is we are starting to see the play that Michael Maguire handpicking players he wants at the club.
It is good. And, you know, the Tigers have been a victim over the course of the last 18 months since Mike Maguire's been there, that they've had to basically try and sign whoever was available on the market. So, you know, Luciano Leilua has been a decent signing. Joey Leilua was opportunistic and has obviously had to spend some time on the sidelines this year. But I've got to say, I still like the style of player that Joey Leilua is and what he can bring to a team. And then Adam Dewey was another player who at the Bunnies, when they decided they were going to go after him,
Dewey's a quality player.
Dewey then became available. And, you know, we saw with that great comeback victory against the Manly Seagulls, Adam Dewey can play a strong role in the centres as well. So he's nice and versatile.
Okay. Now, what about Benji Marshall? You watch some of these teams over the weekend, Hoops, and you'd think there's got to be a club still for Benji.
Yeah, I think time will tell. At the moment, there's no offers on the table as it sits right here and right now. But there is a belief. Look, I think Benji stated personally and publicly that he does still feel as though he's got a contribution to make in the NRL. And I'm certainly not going to sit here and try and throw stones at Benji Marshall. He's been a champion player for many, many years.
Absolutely.
And I know exactly what he was trying to do. The way he brought the West Tigers back into that contest against the Bunnies, that was a rinsing. You were texting me out of control as though you'd won the grand final. Oh, this is going to be a carve-up at 20-0. This will be 50. This will be 60. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, thanks to the genius and guile of Benji Marshall still at 35 years of age, the Tigers were able to work their way back into the contest. And I know what he was trying to do with that kick. He was trying to win the game, and it just had a little bit too much on it. But that's what makes him...
Tell you what...
But Hoops, isn't he on bargain basement money
now? He's not on a lot of money, Gordon. You're right. He's not on a lot of money.
And if the Tigers are prepared to let him go, what other clubs...
Dogs.
Are going to pick him
dogs?
Up if they don't want him at that price.
I think it's not about the price, Gordy. What it is for the Tigers is they've already got Josh Reynolds sitting there on $750,000. Then Luke Brooks is on $800,000 plus. Then they signed young Billy Walters, and he's signed already for next season. Then they got a young half that they got out of Newcastle, Jock Madden, who's also... So they've already got four playmakers sitting there on the books signed for next season. And that was a big part of the reason why they made the call that they did with Benji.
Thing is, I think you've got to remember too, defence is half the game. And the reason the Tigers are letting him go for all that he brings in attack is Mike Maguire is trying to,
stop thinking about me.
I know, mate. Anyway, but I think Mike Maguire is trying to instill a defensive mindset into the club. And Benji's had a couple of bad misses. He got dropped earlier this year for some one-on-one misses. And so I think that's the stand he's taken. And I think that's what other clubs are noticing.
Boys, just to wrap it up now, obviously following up from Benji, what about Kieran Foran?
Yeah, Kieran's on the lookout for a club for next season. I don't think he'll have an issue finding a club. The Newcastle Knights, he's been heavily linked with them. He's obviously got a great friendship with Mitchell Pearce, and those two have spoken publicly many times about the fact that at some stage of their career they'd love to play together. The Brisbane Broncos are another club that could benefit from the signing of a senior player of Kieran's fortitude and experience. And then there's even other players available, like Kevvy Proctor, who I know is suspended at the moment for that issue that he had in terms of the bite with Sean Johnson. He's on the market. The Knights are having a big look at him. They've made a play for him. The Broncos are another club that have also made a play for him as well. So we are starting to see a little bit of movement in relation to some of the bigger names in the game.
It's all value for money, though. Kieran Foran, if Kieran Foran puts himself on the market for $300,000,
I get snapped up.
You get snapped up. If he puts himself on the market for $1 million, which is, you know, what's on 1 point something now at the Bulls, then he won't get a nibble at all. So he's just got to find a value that he's happy at. There's clubs who have got a hole for him at the right price. He's just got to be understanding of that. And Kieran's a really good bloke. He does understand that. And part of his deal with his discussions with the Bulldogs was that he wanted to go there for he wanted to re-sign for a competitive price. The Dogs indicate they wanted to go elsewhere, but he's showing he's not being unreasonable. So as long as the club's not unreasonable with their offer, he'll find somewhere.
Okay, boys, we'll leave it there, and we'll take a break before we do Maroon's poll today. My poll is involving. I'll get it out. The Raiders. Do you believe the Raiders can make the grand final from outside the top four? I believe they can. So you can agree with me, yes or no, you disagree. Can the Raiders make the grand final from outside the top four? Triple M NRL Facebook at Triple M underscore NRL. And the poll results so far, 70% disagree with me. 70% disagree with me, Hoops. Did you want to add something?
I agree with you. Right. I think that the Raiders can absolutely make the grand final from outside the top four. I know they were beaten by the Roosters last week, but you look at that game last night. That was clinical, impressive. They got a variety of different elements to their attack at the moment. And I'm with you, Anthony. I think that they can do it.
Okay, I'm with you too, pal.
Also, just looking up social media, it's just gone a little bit Burko and a little bit Bunta about your poll and also about some of the other bets and other banter that's been going on here today. And Bruno down at Little Kongwon says, what? I heard you blokes talking about Hong Kong earlier. Has Anthony been smoking Hong Kongs? Because he seems a little bit off today. He's all over the shop.
I don't know what Hong Kongs are, but anyway. I'm going to take a break and we're going to come back. We're going to say goodbye to Paul. And you know what that means when Paul goes... It's happy hour coming up as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. And it's with Triceps Hooper and so to Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Maroon here. And we've got a couple of games this afternoon, which we will call for you across the Triple M network. Of course, that one tonight's a beauty, which is Cronulla Warriors. But at 4 o'clock, it's Cowboys Melbourne. So there's a couple of good games coming up. Interesting, I saw this in the telly this morning. I was reading the telly, Sunday Telegraph, Paul, and I thought of you straight away. This, I'm old enough to remember this vividly, the 1981 Newtown side that made the grand final, virtually out of nowhere, lost the grand final, the first grand final that Parramatta ever won. But we'll never forget that team, Tommy Radonikis, Kenny Wilson, Graham O'Grady was in that team, Chicka Ferguson, I think, was in that team, yep. Stevie Bowden, obviously, yep. One of the Bugdens.
Mark Bugden.
Or was it Sigsworth? Jeff?
Jeff Bugden.
Sigsworth was there, yeah.
Phil Sigsworth was fullback, yeah. I think Ray Blacklock was the other winner.
Yeah, he was in that side too. Yeah. Paul Morris, and on they go. But a remarkable football side that virtually came from nowhere to make the grand final. Gus Gould, obviously, too. And then they kind of went back into a little bit of obscurity.
Yeah, well, that Newtown side was, I think it was Warren Ryan's... I think it might be his first year as coach, as a first grade coach.
Okay.
He'd come from coaching Western Suburbs Reserve grade under Roy Masters. They've already been there. They don't particularly like each other. But they coached together at Western Suburbs. He did a good job at Western Suburbs, and then he went and coached Newtown and obviously did a great job there. And essentially, look, they were buggered in that grand final because Steve Bowden was suspended because of the brawl against Manly in the preliminary final, which is it the anniversary of today, 31 years today. 39 years today. Dean Ritchie wrote a nice story today in the Sunday Telegraph about it and interviewed Mark Broadhurst, who sadly revealed in the interview 10 days ago he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And so he's beginning to forget things. He seemed fairly pragmatic about it, but that's very sad to hear that that's happened. But that was the mark, Anthony, that the NRL back then, it's the New South Wales Rugby League, said things have got to change. We're coming into the television era. People were getting more and more colour televisions. Some had them, some still had black and white back in those days. And more importantly, the cameras were getting better. And the game looked at the game, and yeah, the officials of the game looked at it on television and thought, we can't have this going to air. There was a lot of brawling, a lot of fighting going on, a lot of foul play. And from that, essentially, this was the one where they said, right, oh, enough's enough. And after that, that's when the game really cracked down. Jim Combs was employed to run the judiciary and really started handing out long sentences. But this brawl was fascinating because what was really interesting about it was Manly Newtown. Tommy Radonikis had come over from Western Suburbs. But within the Manly side were, I think there was John Dorahy, obviously Les Boyd, and a couple of others. Who had played at West, Graham O'Grady had played at West, and it was at Newtown with Tommy. So the core of the Western Suburbs team from the late 70s, which won the minor premiership in 79, they all left the club, and now half were at Manly and half were at Newtown. The backstory, which didn't get spoken about today, was that during the week, Tommy kept ringing Les Boyd up and basically saying, I'm going to bash you, and then hang up. And back in those days, it was landlines. You didn't know when your phone rang at home, you didn't know who it was. So Les would go, hello, I'm going to bash you and hang up. And so Les knew it was coming. And come the first scrum, it had got to both teams back in the day. It used to get out that, you know, if there was going to be a stink on, generally someone would let someone know and the other side would find out about it. And Mark Broadhurst says that he knew that Bowden had said he's going to go looking for him. And to Broadhurst's credit, he said, good, because I'm going to be looking for him. And so come the first scrum, they got into each other. And it was vicious. The fight, nobody wanted to really break up the fight. There was a couple of blokes pulling blokes off, but essentially blokes were into each other. And obviously the cameras caught early, Broadhurst and Bowden coming into it. I remember speaking to Steve Bowden, I would say probably about 5 or 6 years ago about it. And he said to me, he said, mate, he said at the time, he said, I didn't do a lot of weights. He said, but at the time, he said, there wasn't a fitter bloke in the game. He had a heavy bag hanging in at his house. And he used to do 10 rounds a day on the heavy bag. And he was punch fit. And so he said, when he took on Broadhurst, and for people who don't remember Mark Broadhurst, Mark Broadhurst was a former Kiwi test prop who was also the New Zealand amateur heavyweight champion. So he could obviously handle himself as well. So when they found each other, they didn't fight like footballers. And we see today footballers throw punches and don't really know what they're doing. These were two blokes who knew how to not only throw punches but how to hurt people with punches. And they were into each other like that. They clearly knew how to street fight, the way they're holding each other. And then at one point when it was still fairly even spoils, Broadhurst had his left hand in the collar of Broadhurst's jacket, of jersey, and he just lowered his head and then pulled Broadhurst onto his forehead as he launched with his head, like a bit like a ram butting, and that dropped him. And that fractured his eye socket and fractured his cheekbone and really put him in some trouble. That turned the fight. And it went for about roughly 3 minutes, the fight, which in any man's language, that's a long time to be fighting. And they finally pulled everybody apart. And what people forget about it is they pulled everybody apart and they gave a penalty to Newtown out of the brawl. Tommy Radonigas, God bless him, this is why we love him, but Tommy Radonigas off the tap hit the ball up, ran straight at Les Boyd, who was his teammate who he'd been taunting all week, and got to within a couple of metres, threw the ball at him, and then just started fighting again and just grabbed Les and they're on. And it broke out again. It didn't go as long this time, but it was on again. And that just set the tone for the whole game. And it's one of those things, look, we look back at it fondly. At the time, it was an embarrassment to the game, and it was the moment the game said, we need to start turning this around and trying to clean things up. But I tell you what, whenever they talk about great brawls, and we all get a little bit, us old blokes particularly, get a little bit sentimental about that, this is the one they all point to. It was savage.
Absolutely. Good memories too, description of, as I remember it, Paul. So, mate, have a great afternoon off. We'll see you tomorrow night on NRL 360.
I'll do that. Thanks, Anthony.
My pleasure. And if you want to have a look at that, YouTube, Newtown v. Manly 1981 final, it's there for you to have a look at, and some great old names in there too. We've got, for the last hour, Gordy Tallis, James Triceps Hooper, and Maroon here. We will replay too that interview we had earlier with Ricky Stewart. Lots of people have asked, say they didn't hear it. We're going to play it for you again as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Sinbin is full of experts. If you're looking for expert legal advice, have a chat to Bryden's lawyers. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.